If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Bottoming, the LGBTQ mental health podcast about rock bottoming and beyond.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BottomingPod or visit bottomingpodcast.com for more content relating to each episode.
We've also added a support page to the website to direct you to the right place if you're struggling or need someone to talk to.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts. Hi, I'm Brendan.
And I am Matthew, and our pronouns are he and him. It has been a while this time, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really feels as though it has been a while.
Yeah.
And in the studio.
It's because there's been a lot happening since we last put an episode out, hasn't there?
Yeah, has it been about a month?
I think it's been about a month.
Yeah, it's been about a month. Yeah. Goodness me. We're slacking. But we did do some weekly episodes, didn't we? Mm-hmm. We gave them
it all levels juice. Out. All levels
it
out.
All levels out. Also, I can't believe... Actually, let's quickly get into... Today we've got a guest, surprise, surprise, called Bailey. They're an artist out of New York, very hip, very modern, very LGBTQ plus hunty boots, very that girl.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. And it was a really, really fun chat, wasn't it? It was a very hot interview.
Spicy or...
No, actually very warm because we filmed it, we recorded... kind of the tail end of the UK heat wave, and Bailey also said that New York was horrific,
yeah,
and humid and warm, so by the end of it we were all dripping.
Yeah, well, we had hot teas, which we thought, you know, it could help. It's supposed to help in those situations.
No.
It didn't help.
No.
But she had a gorgeous green juice that she was swirling around.
Yeah.
So we know who won that competition.
Yeah, but it was just a really, really fun interview. And we'll talk about it more in the interview, but give it EP a listen. Give it new songs and new singles a listen. And you can follow her on Instagram at Bailey Music, but Bailey is spelled B-A-Y-L-I.
Sound. So shall we catch up? I know we don't
I guess
really
so,
talk
yeah, go on.
That much. But if We'll start with you, actually, because you, in between two episodes, have somehow been to Africa and back.
Mm.
Tell us all about it. Where have
you been? So I went to Rwanda with work. We went to stay in the capital, Kigali. I have to say, it was one of the most incredible places I've been to. And the people, it's also, I would say, the friendliest place I've ever, ever visited. Like, there was not one...
You've been to my house, babes.
Point proven. There was not one person that I met or spoke to or interacted with that wasn't, like, anything other than incredibly friendly, smiley, happy, helpful. Yeah, and it was just an amazing week. Obviously, I was there for work. There was about 28 of us all together. We went for our company retreat. We've just started, just opened an office there. So there was lots of time with one another, which was great because the majority I haven't met before. Mm-hmm. But then there was also lots of time just getting to know the city. And yeah, it was all around just very, very special. I learned an awful lot. I went to the Genocide Museum, which was very special. I think that's the only way to put it. Had a gorgeous tour from one of the women's centres there, which was, yeah, it was honestly, I just came back smiling. It was amazing. The travel to and from wasn't, I got awful motion sickness on the way there. So that wasn't my favourite thing. Really bad turbulence, but yeah, all in all, it was amazing. And hopefully we'll go back there at some point. For one of the evenings as well, I was hoping to record and meet some LGBT people and maybe do some interviews there, which unfortunately didn't happen, but I did meet Jean-Claude. He came to our event and met basically all of the team, and it was amazing chatting to him. Had some really interesting conversation around, I guess, the perception as well of, say, the immigration, the current immigration debate and sending asylum seekers to Rwanda from the UK, and how that's viewed from within the country and externally. And I think the one key takeaway I probably got from chatting to him, it was the perception thing, and like what are, say, quote unquote, normal looks like in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
So things that we maybe have even discussed on the podcast before, or we hear about, we think are truly awful, whereas actually it didn't seem to have fazed them. Like, he knew it was bad, and he knew the things in the past were bad, and, you know, he'd been arrested at some point and this had happened and this had happened, but it just was like, I guess, like another day for him to be discussing it, which, yeah, it was just a big, just a lot to think about, I guess, because it just reminds you that as LGBT people, like, we have our own understanding of what our own system and culture and surroundings are like. And you can't go and impose or tell someone else what theirs is like or how bad or how good theirs is, because it's all very personal to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was amazing chatting to him. And hopefully we'll get to speak and discuss a little bit further in an interview at some point. And I would love to go back to Kigali. So, it was interesting, especially given all of the press that we see in the UK around how bad the bill is and how bad human rights are. It just makes you kind of have to reassess things, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say it's not in any means, but yeah, it's just an interesting one that I've not experienced before when I visited places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is my last full week in London.
Is it really?
Yeah, next Friday I leave.
Wow. That's come around very quickly, actually. Mm. Although it's a very fast move.
It is.
It's still come around very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what were you feeling about it? Are you excited?
I bought a couch last week.
Uh-huh.
So I'm excited to sit on the couch when I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we went to John Lewis, didn't we, with Sam, to test said couch out. It wasn't there, but similar ones were. I'm just focusing on all of those things, like having my own fridge that I haven't got to share with anyone, living near the river, having a couch, you know, the things that will be the first time I've had. So
the small but homey things.
Exactly. Homo things?
Yeah.
Sure. How are you?
I'm very good. I think last episode I said I had an interview later that day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've only gone and got the bloody job, haven't I?
You have. Congrats. Snaps all around.
Yeah, it's to become a clinical support worker within the NHS. And yeah, I'm very excited to start. It starts in September, so it aligns perfectly with the end of my course and handing in my dissertation as well. So that all kind of works very well together. So I'm very excited. I did tell you there was a funny moment in the interview which I wasn't prepared for, which was a role play scenario.
Mm-hmm. And which we know that you love.
I do love a role play.
not in a dirty context, oh.
But in a fun, you know, friendly banter kind of way. But in a professional context, when there's no preparation, mm-hmm. or, you know, discussion of said mm-hmm. role play, that's when I get a bit thrown off. So there was a moment she kind of just was like, okay, so now here's the role play scenario. And so you're going to be saying that you've got a certain amount of therapy sessions for this person, and over you go. Here's Susie. And so I just had to go into it. Just, hi, is that Susie? And so it was very awkward, but it was fun.
I mean, obviously you did well, didn't you? Because you got the job.
I got the job, yeah. So here we are.
You know, when the podcast ends, we'll put you on, I guess, stage, panto?
No,
let's not talk about drag queens.
Let's not. We love them. That's not because we don't want to talk about
them. Oh, no, because it's been in the press so much that people are... Yeah.
Please, let's not talk about drag queens. God. But dissertation-wise, also, I handed in a draft, got good feedback and constructive feedback, mm-hmm. which I've just been dilly-dallying away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most of my news recently.
Amazing.
Yeah. We had a bit of a brief dance at the weekend, didn't we?
We did. We went to Body Movement Festival, didn't we?
Uh-huh. Thank you very much for the ticket, Genevieve. Really, really appreciate it. Goodness me, what a treat.
Yeah. I remember rambling on about it last autumn. I think the last was last autumn, and it was amazing. It was one of my favourite days of the year last year. And it was just, again, all very fun. So mm-hmm. many gorgeous queers romping around Hackney Wick.
How did you know they were queer?
Yeah, and also I'll give a little shout out to my flatmate, Cher, as she was on the Emerging Artists lineup mm-hmm. and put on an absolutely stunning set.
She was great.
Yeah, looking forward to next year.
Me too.
I'll also just go a quick mention, it was Liverpool Pride, the same day as Body Movement. It looked like it went really well. It looked really nice. There was also like a Reclaim Pride march, a bit similar to what happened in London. There was the official march, and then there was a Get Corporate Out of Pride for Pinkwashing march as well. And I'm excited to get into the queer scene when I'm up there. So yeah, it was nice to see that went well this year for them.
Exactly. And we had a bit of a conversation with Bailey about the whole kind of corporate versus independent pride.
Mm-hmm. Who's having that conversation?
Who's having that conversation? Turns out we are.
We are.
So, without further ado, here is Bailey.
I'm Bailey. My pronouns are she, her.
Thanks for being with us today. Firstly, how are you doing, and how has this year been so far for you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. But it's so funny. We, especially since after lockdown, I feel like it's really hard to like get to interface with people. So that's why I'm excited also to chat with you guys, go a little deeper. Anyway, to answer your question, I'm doing well. I've been home for like a few weeks, so I was traveling for like the first 4 to 5 months of this year. So it's nice to just be home and like be with, I'm such a family person, and like even more recently. So it's really nice to be home, get to focus on myself, like listen to my body. What do I need a little bit more as opposed to like when I'm in LA or when I'm touring, like I just came back from London a month ago. I'm always, the first priority is like, okay, is everyone doing okay? Am I doing my job? So being home, I get to focus a little bit on, pace myself a little bit and listen to what do I need, like physically and mentally. So it's been really nice.
Yeah. Are you getting some time to switch off a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. Deserved.
Yeah.
And I've noticed the little green drink that you've got there. I can hear the ice like clinking away.
I'm drinking like little spirulina. So yeah, like even that, just getting to like be healthy and not like eat gas station food. when you're on the road, it's so weird. It's just like, it does not even matter if you have the biggest budget. It's like, you know, you're just kind of eating what's accessible and you're resting as much as it's accessible. So I don't know. It's kind of nice to be home, have that in between time for travel.
I imagine you were really busy for Pride season this year.
Pride was very exciting. Yes. June was jam packed. No, it was really fun. Like, again, I don't know. I'm trying to like pace myself. Usually I want to be a part of every single event. So I was a part of some really cool things this Pride. But this Pride, I was trying to slow down. I was like, I can't go to every single party.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I still ended up going to everything that New York had to offer.
Yeah.
But it was really fun. I got to perform a little bit on a Pride float. I attended the Blondes event with Tinashe performing.
Oh my God, amazing.
Totally slayed. Coach had an amazing, amazing event. So yeah, Pride was really, really, really fun. And it kind of was the most corporate and like crazy celebrity Pride I've ever attended as well. So that was cool.
Yeah. How do you find that compared to maybe some more community-based things? Because I know that's a hot topic, isn't it? It's been for the last few years especially.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's pros and cons. How have you found it?
I don't know. I find myself, I am a little bit of a corporate gay, so.
If it pays the bills
get paid.
It's like that. It's like, I just want to see people in our community get compensated and also understand the standards. Like, you know, seeing what people that work more in a more commercial world, what they make and what that compensation's like and those standards. I just like people in our community seeing that at a younger age or seeing that earlier, having that be kind of made normal, because I feel like a lot of people in the queer community are so talented in so many different fields and so many different ways. But we haven't historically been afforded the opportunity. So this Pride, I'm like, we need to flex. I'm like, yes, coach. You know, just local girls from New York, for real. Like, I think it's obviously fun and empowering and like cool. But I think it also goes deeper than just like feeling amazing and looking amazing, getting to wear coach, getting to wear a Telfar. I think it's really people in the community being able to be immersed into that more commercial space, which is important to me. I know that is a hot topic, and
yeah,
I get the co-opting of culture thing.
Yeah, so, yeah, we've spoken about it several times with different people in different ways, and like, there's obviously, as you mentioned, like the visibility and seeing people in those spaces. When we were kids, we would never have seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
so that's amazing just to see it. But then the flip side of it, as you say, is like the co-opting, or is it? But there's a middle ground somewhere, I think.
Right, there absolutely is. You don't want to just be exploited. You don't want just a piece of your art or a piece of your existence taken and be exploited. So I know I get that it's a really hard conversation, but it's almost, I think I'm trying to have the acceptance of like, okay, this is a thing. Gay people, we are such a demographic and such a powerful community in so many different aspects. And it's like, if this is happening, radically accepting that that's happening. And like, how do we make sure we're not getting exploited if it is happening?
Yeah.
Being prepared, you know?
Yeah. And you mentioned, obviously kind of coming out of lockdown, like these were kind of the first events that we went to anyway, this June, that were actually put on since lockdown and since everything happened. So I think just getting to be a part of the community again is such a big thing and a really powerful thing this year specifically, right?
Absolutely. it's kind of overwhelming. I think it's a lot learning how to re-socialize. Like, mm-hmm. even being a performer, it's like going out to shows and like meeting people. I'm just like so much more in my head about it, but
yeah.
It's so necessary and it's so fun. And like, I don't know. I think being, I didn't realize until now how hard it was to kind of be in isolation and like how much that can change getting out and seeing everyone and meeting people for everyone. But especially as a performer, it's like kind of, it's kind of weird.
Mm.
it's a weird adjustment.
Yeah. So you mentioned about all the talent in the community. So I want to take that now onto your songs. So you recently released Tellybag. Can you tell us about the inspiration behind that song? And tell us a bit of the video as well, because the video is obviously stunning.
That is so sweet. For Tellybag, really, I'm an artist who's kind of like very cathartic and I like to go deep, even though my all my songs have like an air of fun and playfulness and it's a little campy. There is like that deep, that deeper introspective kind of thing that I usually go for with concepts and lyrics. So Tellybag, I was like, first of all, number one, super inspired by Telfar, just learning. I have a lot of friends that work with him, and I'm not super close with Telfar, but I've had the honor of like meeting him and going to his shows and all of that. So just seeing the impact that, again, a local Brooklyn queer person is having on the world and the future of fashion and all of these amazing cultural conversations, I was so inspired. So I was like, okay, let me not be so deep on this. Let me like go for a little bit of a banger and like something fun and loose. And even like the video I shot in LA, and just, we just had friends pop out and like our hottest friends come and be a part of that video. like amazing artists like Kid Ken, Brendan Jordan, who's an icon, like so many just incredible queer people that kind of are already, to me, icons. I just wanted to have fun with Tellybag. So it was a culmination of that queer Black culture infiltrating the scene once again. And I kind of just wanted Tellybag to be an homage to that.
And can you tell us a little bit about your EP? Because when I told my boyfriend that we were going to be interviewing you, he was like, oh my God, like, I've literally been listening to it all of last week. Because he recently worked with Shy Girl on one of her videos, did some editing on her newest videos. So when we got the email and I saw that you'd supported Shy Girl as well, all of these little things interlinked. And I don't think he'd clicked at the time when I mentioned this was ages ago. And then we mentioned this week and he was like, oh my God, like, she's already in my playlist. And I didn't even realize when you said that. Yeah. So he specifically wanted me to tell you that his favorite is Foreigner. And he said he's had that on all week.
I love that.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit more about the EP especially, and maybe the response to it as well? How have you found that as you've been touring it?
Well, you know, I'm always gagging like that. People are hearing my music and discovering it and relating to it. I'm just always surprised and always so like grateful. So that is amazing. But Foreigner is one of my favorites. Going and doing shows and seeing people like sing the lyrics, it's just like, guys, what? And I think like as I'm performing, sometimes I'm so sensitive, but like I literally mid-song will just be like, stop, yeah. Like, wow. Like, this is crazy. I'm gagging. Or sometimes I'll let the audience sing it with me. But yeah, it's been really cool. I think I'm so gracious of how my first EP was received. I think as like an independent artist, as a songwriter, I feel it's been amazing so far. My team and I are really wanting to even focus in even more for the second EP and deliver this project like in a way that just feels really immersive for people again, concept-wise, sonically. So all the past few weeks that I've been home and even on tour, that I've just been doing post-production on my EP, I'm really like really, really excited. I'm also kind of nervous. I want it a little bit of a perfectionist. I really want it to hit how it's supposed to hit.
Yeah.
So the second EP is definitely different. another set of stories. My first EP is called Stories from New York. So this second EP is called Stories 2. And I didn't want to set it in any particular city because it kind of takes place me traveling, touring, being between LA and New York, working and collaborating with new people, like Shy Girl, who I'm so obsessed with.
Yeah.
Shy in every way. So yeah, Stories 2 is, I hope and think, an elevation and also another kind of sonic landscape, which is what I called Stories from New York. I wanted to feel like you need to, when you listen to my first EP, when you listen to Stories from New York, you put headphones in and you're like, whether you're walking down the street or whether you're in your bedroom or, you know, taking a break at work, it kind of feels immersive and you get to feel like you're in Soho with me. So for Stories 2, I'm hoping it's that same sensation for my listeners. And it's just a little deeper. It's like also a little bit more intimate and I think vulnerable in a lot of ways. So I hope people dig that as well.
Amazing. And also you speak, this wasn't in the questions, but you speak a lot about the queer community and like its inspiration to you. And I was just thinking, like, Matthew and I have spoken in the past, like, although we've been gay since, you know, pre-teens, forever basically. Yeah. But it wasn't until a lot later that we started to feel kind of like a part of a community, because of a lot of things that a lot of queer people feel, shame, things like that. But I wondered what was the moment for you, or when did you start to feel like a part of something bigger?
You know, that's a great one. I was born in New York. Like, I call my parents city hippies. Like, my family is very liberal and like my city is very liberal. The school that my high school, it was like more than 50% queer.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So I, what I'm saying is I'm so privileged. I really was born into a very safe space, being a queer person. And even then there was a good amount of shame and a good amount of like hiding and like almost not fully accepting, like, oh, like, am I actually just attracted to girls? Like, I'm still dating guys at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And in saying that, like, my sexuality is still, it's not, I don't just date girls, I don't just date guys. So, but just one of those things where like not fully feeling comfortable talking about it with my friends or like my family members or even identifying myself. Mm-hmm. And I was born in a really, really safe environment. So I think I had a sense that, I really had a sense in high school that I thought girls were really pretty. But yeah, it wasn't something that I felt super comfortable jumping in and dating girls right away. I'm so impressed with the younger generation, with Gen Z, because they're just so fearless in so many ways, especially the queer people. And that's even why I'm wearing So Gay, because I want that to keep going.
Yeah.
It causes so much like emotional and psychological damage to like lie to yourself or hide yourself or have like this guilt or shame that's not even real, because you're hiding who you truly are. So I don't know. I'm really inspired by the new generation because they seem very, very, very confident in themselves and in their identities and also educated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm really inspired by that. I really was not that confident. Only now, like, I think too, like, I wasn't really raised to be super vulnerable and emotional, even though my family is very close and loving, but we weren't very like, you know, affectionate or anything. And so I try and do that with my songs now. Like, sometimes my lyrics are very forward. Sometimes they're provoking to certain people, because I do want to talk. I have so much to talk about, and how do I let it out? I get to let it out through my music because I'm not that fearless and confident in real life. So it's kind of cool, like, singing about being queer and being queer publicly as an artist is to me, the most open I've ever been with my identity and my queerness. So it's kind of even weird to think about using my platform and using my artistry to have that conversation, because and teach myself to evolve in that way.
I guess another one, sorry, as well, like that wasn't on the list, but hearing you speak about it there, obviously growing up in New York, being between New York and LA, but then at the same time, over the last few years, especially how like the conversation around LGBT identities has been in the US, and also I know it's very different in the UK and the US, maybe not so much anymore. Maybe it's reversed at this stage, but I think one of the questions I was going to ask is around being a queer artist in that sort of an environment. Do you think, I don't know, how do you think of it in that way, or are you just doing you?
That's such a good question. I've been doing music since a young age, but I was not always out. I was in a band, so also I'm not really going super deep. I didn't used to go super deep with my lyrics, go super, super personal. I do think it's cathartic for me. My own music is a release for myself. It's a way to like feel empowered in myself. Because I'm singing about things that like I wouldn't talk about all the time, even to my close friends, or like experiences. So it is empowering and cathartic for me in that way. But at the same time, and to my management and my team's like annoyance, I always think there should be a deeper message. I think that, yes, my music should resonate with a lot of people, and it shouldn't just be, even Tellybag is a banger, but there's a message in there. And I'm kind of a deep thinker in that way. But I think every artist has that and offers that, even if they don't know it. So I go for it in my music. I know that I do want to have conversations that I think are important, and that a lot of people maybe that aren't performers and don't have the same platform or voice want to have. I like having that. And then going and doing interviews like with you guys, well, this is a conversation, but going and talking to Interview Magazine and not just being like, I'm hot, friends with some really cool people, like know me. I like bringing it back to like, don't say gay. And I like, you know, or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like bringing it back to those conversations since I was young, since I was like first joining the music industry and I was in a band. I always thought, okay, I'm going to use the tiny platform that I have to have those conversations, or to find collaborators that want to have those conversations. I think it's really important. And I think everybody offers that, whether they really know it or not, every artist at least.
And if you can do that while making a banger, and if you can do that while looking really hot, then it's bonus. Exactly. You know what I mean?
It's like, guys, that is the challenge. The challenge is not just being a bad bitch and like, just like, I don't know. I think it's like being a bad bitch and then also, bam, making history. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Helping someone really understand, empower someone. You know what I mean? Like, you have that power to do a little bit more and inspire. So it's like, I don't know, that almost, I don't know. It's kind of this weird dichotomy of being a performer, where if you don't have that purpose, a little bit of purpose there, then it can feel so superficial. Because most of it is just announced. Like, I don't know. It can feel very superficial very quickly if you don't have a little bit of purpose. So I like to have that.
Yeah.
So you spoke about, you know, putting things into your songs that you wouldn't necessarily speak to your closest friends even, or like speak out personally on a one-on-one basis or with family. Are you doing it purely for you, or are you wanting to have kind of those deeper conversations on a day-to-day?
On a day-to-day, it's like, I want to jump in. I want to have a deeper convo. I don't know. I just think music stands the test of time. So if I'm recording, if I'm writing, I'm not just thinking about this year and like what's popping right now. I'm thinking about what's popping right now, but also what in 20 years could actually hit home for someone. the most intimate thing that comes for me, the most intimate song, like a song like 16, which is on my first EP, that's about my mom. That's the story of my mom and her coming to the US. And but it's like so many people's story. Mm-hmm. And I meet so many people at shows where like they really relate to that. So I thought I was just writing that for myself, but then it touches a lot of people. So I don't know. I just feel more inspired working in that way, I think.
100%. Mm. And do you feel like you've got more control over that now that you are an independent artist?
Yes. I mean, it's so weird because I was in a band when I first came into the music industry. So not only was I signed and had all these people, a bunch of people's ideas, creative ideas, but I had my band members also to think about what do they want to represent.
Mm.
So yes, I don't know. I think creatively I do feel super, super free, but I do feel pretty lucky. I feel with my first EP, I started establishing myself, and I think I established the type of branding and artist that I actually am. So now for the second project, it's not hard. Even if I evolve, it's not, I don't feel difficult. I don't feel bad. I don't feel like I'm like my listeners are going to get something that they're not ready for. I think mm-hmm. even if the sound is different and evolved, I think they really, I hope that they understand the type of artist that I am based mm-hmm. off of the first project I gave.
Mm. Absolutely.
Is it, I don't know if it, have you described your own sound as being UK inspired, or was that something, because I feel like I've read a couple of different versions of it and I just want to make sure I ask the question right.
I, you know what, Tellybag is definitely UK inspired. My mom is British, so I think there's a good amount of UK inspiration, genuinely.
Yeah.
Not even being like I grew up listening to a bunch of like punk and post-punk mm-hmm. music. So I think, yeah, there's a bunch of UK inspiration in there. And rock and mm-hmm. roll is really my forte, how I started in the industry. So yeah, I'm absolutely inspired by UK music.
Yeah.
More recently, like drum and bass and house, but mm-hmm. starting in the rock side.
Yeah. How was that journey for you, like hearing the music that your mum has listened to mm-hmm. and then maybe discovering another part of what British music sounds like? And I mean, you've worked with Sophie in the past, for example, which is just incredible. How has that journey been for you, and combining that with your own personal sound and how you want to be making music?
It's so hard. It's like labels and genre, as much as we need them as humans to just function, mm-hmm. it's always been so hard for me because I pull so much inspiration from so many different genres. So listening to like the Stranglers and like Sex Pistols and like Susie and the Banshees and these types of bands, like growing up with my mom, and then also having hip hop and house music from my dad. Once I started listening to music on my own, it was always like going from like Cat Power and Bjork mm-hmm. to like Beyonce and like SWV. Like it's literally like, it almost gives me anxiety to even think about like, do I just like rock and roll, do I just like house music, hip-hop, R&B, mm-hmm. because I really, really, truly am inspired and grew up listening to it all of it, gospel in my grandmother's house. Mm-hmm. So it's like I don't know, I guess I've been on a mission for a long time to blend all of these amazing sounds. Like, and I hope that's what I'm doing, and I hope I can keep doing it in a way that's not completely overwhelming
mm-hmm.
To my listeners. But
yeah, I mean, I think to answer that, when the first song I listened to was Tellybag, that like actively listened to, but then I went back through the rest of the catalog and I realized that actually a load of the other songs I already had listened to, whether it was in a different playlist or Discover or wherever it was, and listener actively to all of them, there's definitely the thread there, even though they sound quite different. Yeah, that you can still tell, which I think is what you were saying before about, you know, if you do shift and do a completely different sound for the next EP, people that are with you on this journey now are gonna be with you on that jump, because it's more about what you're putting into it rather than what it sounds like. So just to answer that question, I would say you are doing it right.
I hope so. I love that makes me so happy. It truly does.
Mm.
because I really think, again, like, my first EP is called Stories from New York. I think it's about the story and the concept and, like, how one tells that story.
Yeah.
I could literally do, like, a bluegrass album.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope that people, I would hope that I could keep the same fans and mm-hmm. grow my listener base. So I really think it's about the songwriting and the storytelling and the concept of it all.
Who would you love to work with? If you haven't already, or if you've got someone that you are working with, maybe that you want to give us a little preview of. But yeah, who's like your dream lineup of collaborators?
I mean, there's someone who I'm working with that I really, really love, who's also a UK artist, is Muramasa. We're just very good friends, also a kind of shy girl. And I just really respect and love all of his work. Someone I would love, love, love to work with. I mean, there's so many people. I don't know, Mark Ronson's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like Goats, Icons, Paul McCartney. Like, I don't know. There's so many. there's so many people. Someone who I really, really am inspired by recently is Pink Pantheress, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with her.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to just like collab with her.
Mm.
And kind of chat with her and her team a little bit. That's someone I'm looking on, but I don't know.
She just blew up. She was just like, not even overnight. It was like within the hour, she was just everywhere.
The sound is so incredibly good. It's just so like, it's so good. And again, I think Pink's sound like touches so many different genres. Mm-hmm. Obviously there's that foundation of like, clubby drum and bass kind of feeling stuff. I don't know even if it's drum and bass, but kind of that 90s, early 2000s club music. But also the way she delivers the vocal, it's like, it's just perfect, peaceful pop. Like, it's kind of this new thing. So,
yeah.
Very inspired.
I mean, I'm sad to say that the questions are ending there. This is the one that I think is probably the most important, just because if anyone doesn't know who you are, goes to your Spotify, they're gonna see this in the bio. And I feel like it's the question people are gonna want to know. You love sushi. I want to know what's your like dream sushi lineup, your platter, tell us.
Dream sushi platter. Oh my gosh, I'm very excited for the question. Sushi for breakfast. Yes, if you guys don't know, please go and stream for breakfast. Dream sushi platter. It's like, you know what, sushi I dropped in 2020, and like I've learned so much. I've been trying to be a little bit more ethical. So like I would normally say spicy tuna and like crunchy rolls and caviar and all of these things that now I think of are not as like sustainable and ethical.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely go with like unami. That's something that is not terrible for the environment and kind of you have that little ethical sense there. But then, yeah, like we're going to keep it cute. a little crunchy tuna roll, yes. Rainbow roll, tempura rolls. Mm. I love that question though. That's very, very cute. But definitely like cucumber, avocado. I have to go with the vegetable rolls because gotta look out for the ocean a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
My partner is like an environmentalist, and so yes, I'm trying to be a little bit more ethical.
Yeah. So there's actually
my sushi order.
nearby where we live, there's actually a vegan sushi restaurant.
Oh my god!
And it's like fully vegan, which is it. I mean, it's not quite the same, is it? But it's on the way to
on the way.
If you reduce and substitute sometimes. You know,
I love that. I absolutely love to hear that. Truly, I got to get into that. I mean, New York, we're nowhere near that yet. I'm sure there's a really good vegan sushi place that I don't know about, but LA is way more conscious in that way. And I've kind of even learned from being in LA a lot more that you have to be a little bit like, please, like sushi for breakfast, yes, but maybe it's vegan sushi.
Yeah. Can you tell us what you've got coming up this year or what people listening should be looking out for? The EP, any new videos, and exciting?
We have definitely, I'm working on a video right now. We've been treating it kind of, I won't say it's like similar to Tellybag, but I'm like putting this big energy behind mm-hmm. this video. And for my next single, that is going to be the first single leading into my EP. So I have my EP Stories 2 coming, which I hope everyone loves. It is the follow-up, the continuation kind of to Stories from New York. And yeah, it definitely takes you on another crazy ass journey, except it's outside of the city. So yes, we definitely get into some shenanigans with Stories 2. Very excited about that. And I have some really cool collabs coming. Like I talked a little bit about Muramasa. Mm-hmm. He and I have a song coming, and a few other artists. I don't want to name them because they're on hold and like,
yeah, fair.
God only knows. Like, you know, it takes.
We don't
want to
ruin them. No, no.
You guys would never, but it's like, oh my gosh. Every single, you know, there's so many amazing artists and the teams have to do a lot of work to get us all, you know, in the same place on the same day. So, but we have some really, really, really cool stuff coming with other artists kind of also in the PC, digicore, hyperpop spaces. So I'm really, really excited for the rest of this year, but mostly excited for my EP.
Thank you so much, Bailey. It was gorgeous.
Stunning.
I know we were all dripping wet by the end of it, but we'd have sat there and talked all day if we could. So thank you again.
100%. And also thank you, Sophie, for hooking us up. There was a few times that we didn't, you know, align schedules, but we got there in the end. And thank you for your patience.
And yeah, we can't wait to hear the next EP. Let's wrap this up.
So let's wrap it up, honey.
Positive thing of the week, hit me.
Okay, my positive thing of the week. Everyone knows by now it's my personality that we foster cats here. And so one of the positive things of the week I found out yesterday, so we're trying to wean the cats off the mum's milk to cat food. Don't know if you knew cats eat cat food. And so it's a tiresome process, arduous. But yesterday, the last of cat of the four started eating cat food.
Honestly, thank God.
Aren't I a proud father?
Yeah, because Kiki needs a rest, doesn't she?
Honey, her nipples are red raw. Oh, she's exhausted.
Bless it. She is mum of the year, I think.
Yeah, 100%. That's it. What's yours, babes?
We're talking of mum of the year. I saw Lady Gaga at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Mother Monster.
Mother Monster. I think along with every other LGBT person in the city. And you know what? It was incredible. It was everything I needed. It was camp. It was loud. We danced. We drank. There was fire.
You lost your eyebrows by the end,
though. Lost my eyebrows, yeah. They were very big pyrotechnics, yeah. yeah. It was amazing. I haven't seen her since the Fame Monster Ball, so it was a long time coming, and it was perfect.
I'm so jealous. Shout out to my friends from home, Tish and Becky, because we were little monsters back in the day. Still am, obviously, but the three of us would gather, congregate, and we'd dance to Miss Gaga. We went to Turkey in Turk 10, and it was the weekend that Alejandro video premiered on either MTV or some sort thing, and so we're watching it on the telly doing our little dances.
Gorgeous video, Stephen Klein.
Well, that's your lot.
Thank you for tuning in this time. We'll have another episode this month.
You can bet your bottom dollar.
I'll probably be recording it in my new flat.
Will you?
Yeah.
Goodness me.
I imagine. I'll give you an audio tour. This is the living room. This is the couch I told you about last episode.
Wow, I'm right there. I can see it. I can visualize it. I can see it in my mind's eye.
As always, please give us a little review and a rating on Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you want to leave them reviews.
Yeah, we'd be really, really grateful. And yeah, tell your mates about us. We'll see you soon. And as per usual, you I do an amazing sweetie.
You do an amazing sweetie. Goodbye.
Lots of love. Bye. Kisses.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.